Sportscast, March 20th, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, iTunes, and Periscope. And also, if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. Big news this morning. Todd Gurley signs with the Atlanta Falcons after being released by the Rams. Originally, the Falcons reported they wanted to do a trade instead of like a whole free signing, but this had to happen. That's why there were signs of why Devontae Freeman was released all of a sudden. And joining us to iron this out, Mr. Jeff Farr, you are back into the Sportscast.
Hey, thanks for having me, Santiago.
What a crazy week, Jeff. Obviously, you know, with Tom Brady, Gurley, and things like that, there's a lot of movement in the free agency world. It actually brought life to the sports world because it was completely dead last week. Let's go into L.A. and Atlanta. You know, Todd Gurley, one of the greatest running backs. Well, not the greatest. One of the best running backs in the league. Last year, not so much due to some injury concerns. What were your thoughts about him being released and now going to Atlanta?
It's all about the injuries. When you look at Todd Gurley, when he's healthy, he's one of the very best in the NFL. I mean, you could even make the argument that he's the best in the NFL whenever he's truly healthy. But the issue there is that's kind of a big, big if. His knees, apparently, he's been struggling. I don't know if it's arthritis or just various knee injuries, but the issue there is if you don't bounce back from that, you're just never going to be the same player. But I will say this, in sports in general, whether it's football or any sport, we have this follow the red bouncing ball mentality. So as soon as a player has a down year or they're beat up or whatever it may be, we push them to the side and we move to the new hot ticket. Right. We move on quickly. Todd Gurley, I know it's a huge if he does get healthy, Todd Gurley is spectacular. And he's only 25 years old. So if there's a chance that he's going to get healthy, it's not as though we're talking about 32-year-old legs or 34-year-old legs. We're talking about a guy that's 25. So if he can get his knees right, there's still some miles on his tread there, and he could give Atlanta a nice boost in the run game.
There's some other speculation of other reasons. The reasons why was L.A. to save money. Do you believe in that reason, or do you think it's more like the injuries?
I'm sure money played a factor. L.A. went all in. They went after Ramsey. They re-signed Donald. They had Sue for a while. You know, they had all these huge contracts. So L.A. went all in to try to win a Super Bowl. And obviously, it didn't work, but that's what they were trying to do. And when you do that, when you go all in and you chase all these big contracts, there's repercussions. So the repercussion is you can't keep all of them, and you have to make some tough decisions. So I think if Gurley was 100% healthy, if he was still the guy that he was when they signed him to the extension, I don't think they would have cut him. They may have asked him to restructure. They may have moved around some bonus money, but I don't think they would have just let him go. So the money certainly is a factor, but I think his inability to stay healthy is the biggest part of this.
Right now, the Rams running backs are Malcolm Brown, John Kelly, and Daryl Henderson. What do you think Rams are going to do? They're going to stick with these three, or they're going to try to look for something in the draft or possibly in free agency? What do you think they're going to do?
Daryl Henderson was a really nice player coming out of Memphis. So I think he'll have an opportunity. He's really dynamic, you know, quick and fast. So if I'm in their shoes, he's a guy that I give a long, hard look. And to be blunt, the running back position has become so, I hate to say the word devalued, because I think it's still a good running back can still make a difference. But at the same time, teams just aren't willing to put a lot of resources into that position. So, and the other thing is with the Rams, they have some work to do on defense. They have some work to do on the offensive line. I just don't think that going outside to get another running back is going to be a big priority for them. So I think they'll roll with the guys that they have, maybe add a late round pick or bring in a couple undrafted guys and see if one of them can stand out. But I don't see them using a high draft pick or making a trade or signing a free agent.
Let's look into the Atlanta Falcons. Of course, they let go of Freeman, got it Gurley. They do have Matt Ryan. They do have Julio Jones. They do have Calvin Ridley. Is this Falcons team now with Gurley different? Are they contenders? How do you view them now?
I'm not willing to say they're a contender, but the Falcons were one of those teams that played a lot better the second half of last year. If you remember right, they went into San Francisco and they beat the 49ers. Now, I know every team can have a letdown. I'm not saying the Niners played their best game, but even so, the Falcons, and they also won at New Orleans. So the Falcons had some really nice wins the second half of last year. I wouldn't write them off, but the only challenge for the Falcons is you already have the Saints in your division who are in a really good position to win that division again. And then you have the Buccaneers that just got Tom Brady, who, I don't think he's not prime Tom Brady anymore, but the Buccaneers have a nice roster and a lot of weapons, and he won't turn the ball over so much, so he'll give them the opportunity to win a lot of games.
Head coach Dan Quinn was people were talking of him being let go. The locker room wanted him to stay. The players wanted him to stay. Do you think Dan Quinn is the future of the Falcons, or do you think he only has a year left if he doesn't
I'm
produce?
sure his leash. Yeah, I think his leash will be pretty short. I will say this though: when you hear of these things where the coach may be let go, the way the team responds is a really big indicator. And when you look at the Falcons, when there was some turbulence there, and they were in a position where they thought they might lose their head coach, they really played well. And like I mentioned earlier, they won a couple games that you wouldn't expect them to win. So to me, that tells me that that coach still has a good grasp of the locker room because they want to perform for him. Had they just kind of packed in their season when those rumors started swirling, then they probably would have had to move on from him. But even with all that said, I mean, at some point he has to produce, and I think if he doesn't at least get them, I don't know if they have to make the playoffs or yet. If they have to at least be in contention for playoffs, I don't know exactly what that cutoff will be, but he's going to have to improve on what they've been the last couple of years.
Pretty tough conference, of course. They have the Buccaneers, but with the Tom Brady, and they got the Saints, which were conference champions last year, and the Panthers team that is sort of in the rebuilding stage. Nothing to worry about there, but they do have a few strengths as well. The Falcons got Hayden Hurst over in a trade with the Ravens. Is that a plus for the Falcons?
I like Hurst, but I think it's still a downgrade from Hooper. So there's your good and your bad. Your good is you got a quality young tight end, but the downside of it is he's probably not going to be better than the guy that you let go. So what do you do there? I mean, that it's good that you replace them with someone and even a quality player, but at the end of the day, I think it's still going to be a drop off down to Hurst.
As Jeff mentioned, the Browns signed Austin Hooper, a record deal, the highest paid tight end in the NFL. The Browns have Hooper and Njoku. Browns have strengthened. What does that say to you for the Browns? Do you think this will be enough for them to be contention? Even though last year they were in contention but fell through, do you think this might be the missing ingredient? And also with Case Keenum being signed too, as a backup potentially.
The Browns. So here's the thing with them is it's not an issue of talent. It's the whole video game argument. If you use the Browns on a video game, they're pretty good because they have individual talent. And if you look over the course of both their entire roster on both offense and defense, talent is not the issue. The issue in Cleveland has just, they just can't seem to get the head coach right. They seem to lack discipline. Now, could that change with their new head coach? Absolutely, it could. I don't know that yet. I'm not willing to say they're a contender until I see them play a couple games. And the other thing is the division they play in, The Ravens are loaded. I mean, if you look at the Ravens roster, it's just they have good players everywhere. So the Ravens are loaded. The Steelers defense is really, really good, and now they're going to get Ben back to give some level of stability on offense. And the Bengals, even though they've been really rough the last couple of years, they're going to draft Burrow, and they're also going to be getting AJ Green back. So that's a pretty big talent infusion before you even talk about the free agency moves they've made and the players that they can draft this year, aside from Burrow. So that division is not going to make it easy for the Browns to just go in and win the division. Now, I think they'll be improved from last year, but last year at this time, I thought they'd be improved, and then they were pretty much a train wreck in the beginning of the next season. So I do think the Browns will be improved, but I also think I'm not willing to put, I'm definitely not willing ahead, to put them ahead of the Ravens, and I think they're going to have a battle with the Steelers.
Let's stick with the Browns. Case Keenum was signed. Is that saying that that Baker is on the hot seat, or is Case there to groom him? Like, what is the Browns trying to tell us?
I don't think it means Baker's on the hot seat, but I do think it means that they want to have somebody that if the bottom completely falls out on Baker, that they at least have a respectable backup that can win a couple games. So I think they'll give Baker every opportunity to take the next step and be a quality quarterback. But if he's just really, if he plays really poorly, then they'll feel comfortable moving to Case Keenum for the rest of this season until they find their franchise quarterback.
Case Keenum, a experienced professional quarterback, definitely will be a good backup. He's a little bit better than Brian Hoyer. He's known to be as the backup around. Let's get back into the NFC South. Like the biggest news of the week, Tom Brady signing with the Buccaneers, made it publicly known by Tom Brady this morning via his social media accounts. 2-year deal. I think he gets $30 million per year. Jeff, was this the biggest news this week?
It definitely was. You're talking about quite possibly the best quarterback in NFL history finishing his career somewhere else. And I keep thinking, he's four, I believe he'll be 43 when the season starts.
Correct.
And every single athlete hits the wall at some point. At some point you just can't do it anymore. So the Bucs are taking a chance because at any point Brady could hit that wall and just not be the same player anymore. The other side of that argument is the Buccaneers. I mean, they lost a lot of close games and a lot of one-score games, and Jameis Winston threw 30 interceptions. So Brady's not going to throw 30 interceptions. Now he might not throw 30 touchdowns either at this stage in his career, but I think the Bucs are. They're going to continue to add some talent on defense. They have plenty of weapons on offense. I mean, they have Evans, they have Goodwin, and I'm sorry, I think it's Godwin
Godwin,
actually, not
Chris
Goodwin.
Godwin, yeah.
Yeah. So, but either way, just those two guys alone, give him better players on offense than he had in New England last year. So I do think they'll be able to move the ball. He'll give them some stability. We just don't know how much longer Brady can continue to play at a high level.
Yeah, and someone like was telling me, has Tom Brady passed his prime? No, he hasn't. He had a great year last season. I think he's still in it, and I agree with Jeff. He's gonna hit that wall eventually. Would it be this season? This Tampa Bay Buccaneers has weapons, just like Jeff said. They got Godwin, they got Mike Evans. They even have a great defense. But does this automatically put Tampa Bay as Super Bowl contenders?
No. I mean, I don't. So Tom Brady's not the player that takes over a game anymore. I mean, he can take over a quarter, if you get him in a close game to the fourth quarter. But the Buccaneers are still going to have to leapfrog the 49ers, Seahawks, the Saints, maybe the Eagles, depending on, if they can stay healthy for a year. So there's some work to be done for them to be in the Super Bowl conversation because those are some good teams. I mean, I will say this, though, the one team that I think is going to drop off a bit is Minnesota. You know, Minnesota just keeps losing players to free agency. Granted, some of them weren't real good players, but even so, when there's a lot of turnover, sometimes it's hard to replicate what you've done. So I could certainly see the Bucks sneaking into the playoffs, and then obviously anything can happen, but I'm not ready to put them as a Super Bowl contender just yet.
Definitely to look at. A lot of players I've been reading this morning that want to request trades to Tampa. The excitement, and of course, the fans are lining up to buy season tickets. I believe there's about 10,000 people lining up for that. So Tampa Bay is definitely on the map in the sports world. Another question, Jeff. Where does that leave the Patriots? Now they have Stidham. Where do you leave them at? Like, can Belichick do it without Brady? Will they most likely draft a quarterback? I mean, where do you put the Patriots now?
In my mind, so this year they have a lot of draft capital. So what wouldn't surprise me is if they try to take as many good players as possible, just, you know, take best player available, build up their roster the best that they can, and then next year at this time go all out to get a quarterback. Now, with Belichick as their coach, they're never just going to completely punt on a season. But no matter how good he is, you still need a quarterback. So I think this year will be the year that they retool and add some, you know, add a youth infusion to their offense and their defense. And then next year they'll go hard after a quarterback, which, now again, next year's draft is always supposed to be the better draft because that's just how we think. But it does seem that the quarterback class next year is better than this year's class. Now, the only thing that I've heard, you know, people just in discussion talking about is, you know, would the Patriots tank this year to get a really high pick next year? I don't think they will. I mean, I just don't think that's in Belichick's makeup. I don't think they would do that. But hey, I guess stranger things have happened. You never know.
I agree with that. I mean, I've not heard that argument about tanking, but I agree that that doesn't seem Bill Belichick's game plan, or even Kraft, Robert Kraft's playing, game plan. I really like to see what happens. So, can we crown the Buffalo Bills as the AFC East champion, or not just yet?
Yeah, let's wait on that since we haven't even made it to training camp yet. But you know, we haven't even made it to off-season activities yet. I like what the Bills have done, though. Their roster is really good. They've built a defense to where I think it'll be an elite defense. But it all comes down to Josh Allen. I mean, I like that they got Diggs. Diggs is a big, I mean, just huge pickup because Diggs is a phenomenal route runner, and he'll give Allen a true number one option. When I was watching their playoff game that they lost to the Texans, what really stood out is even against the Texans defense that wasn't very good, there just wasn't anyone that Allen consistently trusted to go to throw to unless it was a running back out of the backfield. And if you're going to win playoff games, then you need someone that can create a little fear and, you know, make a few big plays in the passing game. So I think Diggs was a phenomenal pickup. And I ultimately, if the Patriots don't make a move for a veteran quarterback, I think the Bills will win that division. But I'm just not, you know, we have a ways to go before we talk about that.
Obviously, a few quarterbacks out in the window to look at. Cam Newton, Jeff, let's talk about him. Obviously, a experienced quarterback, led a team to the Super Bowl. Where do you think he'll end up?
I can't help but think he ends up in San Diego. And the only reason I say that, the Chargers have been making moves like a team that's trying to win right now. You know, they got Chris Harris. If you look at their entire secondary is, aside from Derwin James, is veteran players. They've loaded up their defense. They have plenty of weapons on offense. They re-signed Eckler. They've made multiple trades for offensive linemen. Or I'm sorry, I guess one was for Bulaga was a free agent and Turner was a trade. But either way, they're making all these moves that say they want to win now. You cannot play to win now with Tyrod Taylor as your quarterback. So even if they go and draft somebody really high, that still puts you at risk of letting a rookie quarterback derail what you're trying to do. So in my mind, I think what they're going to do is I think Cam Newton ends up in Los Angeles with the Chargers, and then I think they still draft a quarterback really high to groom behind him.
They're definitely in a position to get a quarterback. They're at the sixth spot in the NFL draft order. Another quarterback, not many people are, jumping into their, knocking at the doors. James Winston, a mysterious quarterback. One, I mean, a player that can, throw 400 yards a game, but then could, could throw eight interceptions in one game. Where do you think he'll end up?
That's a tough one. He could certainly be another candidate in with the Chargers, but man, I really thought that he would have had a chance in Indianapolis, but then they went with Philip Rivers. And when you look around the NFL right now, it seems as though most teams either have a quarterback or they're content with, waiting for the draft to get one. So it's really, man, it's hard to say where he'll end up. I mean, he just turns the ball over so much. Now, like you said, he can throw for 400 yards and four touchdowns. He makes a lot of plays, but a lot of coaches just don't want to deal with all the turnovers. And we also don't know what he's asking. Is he maybe pricing himself out of free agency? That I don't know. But yeah, the Chargers, I guess, could be a team there. Maybe the Panthers, since they're moving on from Cam. Or no, I guess the Panthers just signed Teddy Bridgewater, so that's not gonna, yeah, I don't know where Jameis Winston ends up. I really don't.
He could end up in Buffalo as a backup. You just never know with this guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's a difficult one. Because when you look at the teams that are close, so if there are teams that are a quarterback away, teams that feel that their roster is good, but they just need a quarterback, I don't know if they look at Jameis and say that he's the guy that can put him over the top. I mean, maybe the Patriots would take a look at him. I don't know. I mean, maybe the Patriots would take a look at him and think that they could, coach the turnovers out of him. But Bruce Arians is a really good coach, and he couldn't coach the turnovers out of him. So I don't know who else would.
Let's look towards the Kansas City Chiefs, obviously Super Bowl champions. I have not heard noise from them, but what have they done so far in this offseason, Jeff?
Well, they've really just lost a couple players. Kendall Fuller went back to the Redskins. Stefan Wisniewski signed with the Steelers, and Emmanuel Ogba signed with the Dolphins. So they lost some guys, which always happens when you win the Super Bowl. They're going to lose Matt Moore too. He's going to move on. I think with the Chiefs, what they're trying to do is they're doing everything in their power to bring back Chris Jones and find a way to keep Sammy Watkins. And they're just going to add talent through the draft and then sign some low-level free agents. Which, look, when you win the Super Bowl, you shouldn't be chasing after a bunch of free agents and spending all this big money. I mean, when you look at most of the deals that are signed right now, pretty much every guy is getting overpaid at least a little bit. So if you just won the Super Bowl, the last thing you should be doing is chasing around other people's cast-offs. So not that the teams that are making the free agency moves, they have reasons to do it. But I think the best thing that the Chiefs can possibly do is bring back their own guys and have minimal free agency involvement.
And of course, Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl about almost 2 months ago. We could have not had a show afterwards due to scheduling conflicts, but we'll leave a time right now, Jeff, of your reaction of this past year's Super Bowl win by the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, ever since they moved to Mahomes, you got the feeling that they had the opportunity and that was they were going all in to win a Super Bowl. I mean, when you make that significant trade up and you get your franchise guy, that's when the franchise sets a new standard. Going into this year, Clark Hunt made it very clear that anything less than a Super Bowl was going to be a letdown. You know, they were a player or two away from being in the Super Bowl back-to-back years. The games themselves, I mean, they won every game by double digits, so they really, I know they fell behind in those playoff games against both the Texans and Titans, but really, once they got going, both the Texans and Titans were just completely overmatched. Especially the Texans. You know, they outscored the Texans 51-7 after they got behind by 24. So they were just in a different galaxy than the Texans. The Titans had a, you know, that magic carpet ride riding Derrick Henry, but that has a shelf life. And then the Niners were just tough. You know, the Niners were really tough. Mahomes threw some interceptions that he typically doesn't. But down the stretch when they really needed him, he was, you know, he was money. So it's really, as long as they keep Mahomes upright and they give him quality weapons on the average year, they're going to be right there. You know, they're going to be in that conversation again this year too. And they're going to be for a while. It's just a matter of as long as they can continue to replenish good players on offense, protect them enough, and do that without having the defense completely fall apart. You know, you look around the NFL. I mean, who are the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now? I think that with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady getting near the end of their careers, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, like all those good quarterbacks are near the end of their career. Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL, and he's 24 years old. So they're going to be there for a while. So they're in a good spot. I mean, nothing's guaranteed, obviously. Anything can change, but they're in a good spot.
The baton is being passed for sure. This might be the Mahomes era. Now that Brady has, you know, gone to the NFC, who are the top teams in the AFC right now? Let's just name the top three right now.
Yeah, it's the Chiefs and the Ravens, and then that third team is right now, and I know it's super early. I mean, it's only March. I think you have to say the Bills are probably the third best team in the AFC. Some people want to say the Titans, and the Titans are fine, but I don't think that the Titans can do for an entire season what they did during that last run. You know, just leaning on Henry so heavily. And I like Ryan Tannehill, but the law of averages says that he's not going to continue to perform at quite the level that he did. So I think that Tannehill's going to step back a little bit, and I think Derrick Henry's going to struggle to repeat what he did. So I think the Titans are going to drop off a little. So I think it has to be the Bills, really. It could be the Chargers if they get a quarterback, but as of right now today, Tyrod Taylor, there is no way that they can go through a season with Tyrod Taylor.
For sure, will be definitely eyeing the AFC. AFC looks a little bit open. Of course, Mariota went to the Raiders, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on when they're filling out their spots. But the NFL is definitely changing. Still bright, still popular. I think probably more popular next season when you see a Brady, Tom Brady, one of the greatest of all times, going to a new team like Tampa Bay, back in the spotlight. Jeff, what is the best way to reach you to talk to you about Dak Prescott?
The best way to follow along is at JT Farmer on Twitter, and I also have my name set as the Honey Badger's fishing partner.
There you have it. We'll be having Jeff on again to talk because there's a lot more going on in the NFL. There's probably more business next week, and the NFL draft is on April 23rd to the 25th. It will not be in Las Vegas. It will most likely be remote somewhere, either in New York or in a studio in Bristol or maybe Los Angeles. But we'll definitely keep you up to date. NFL is up and running. They don't even know what is coronavirus is. Anyways, you could go on the sportscast.net, the sportscast.net. We've been updating the site every hour this past week, and we're definitely seeing some new developments and things like that. Couple players still out there. So like the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton. Where is he going to go? So keep an eye on us on our Twitter. It's at the Sportscast One, the Sportscast One, and we'll definitely keep you up to date. Well, Jeff, always a pleasure. Any closing words?
Hey, just can't wait for all our sports to come back, man.
I agree.
Let's stay home, eat a little too much, just for a little bit, and get past this whole thing and bring all our sports back on.
Exactly. Sooner the better. Jeff, always a pleasure for you to be on the Sportscast.
All right. Thanks, man.